You're listening to Eagles Unfiltered.
E-A-T-L-E-S, Eagles!
This podcast is powered by Eagle Maven of Sports Illustrated.
Third down and one. Hurts. Deeping. First down and a touchdown.
Here are your hosts, Ed Kraz and Connor Miles.
Thank you once again for tuning in to another Eagles Unfiltered episode powered by Believe Podcast Network and sponsored by BetOnline.ag, the best sports betting website around. If you need some extra cash for the holidays, use promo code Believe, B-L-E-A-V. Take $50 out of your wallet, make it an investment. Go on to BetOnline.com. Use that promo code. They'll match your initial deposit up to 50%. So if you use 50 bucks, we're going to match up to 50%. Go on there, make some bets, get some holiday extra cash so you can buy these presents that you need to get this year. BetOnline.ag and BetterHelp.com as well as a sponsor. I know the holidays are tough if you're alone, if you're going through mental stuff. Please take advantage of our promo link, BetterHelp.com/Eagles, A-E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles, Eagles, for first month, 10% off, BetterHelp.com. Ed, I can't even get these ad reads out because I'm so excited over that game, and You rewatched it just before you started doing this episode. I rewatched it last night before going to bed. I'm still living off the high of that game. Wow.
Yeah, amazing. 2 weeks in a row. I mean, you know, I thought that win over the Chiefs was, you know, fantastic the way they came back. But Sunday night was even more impressive. I mean, because the Bills didn't go away. You know, they were scoring and the Eagles had to keep scoring to keep up with them. So just the way they did it. You know, you can nitpick all you want about the first halves of these last two games, but somehow, some way, this team just has resiliency and they're able to find a way to win. And a lot of that is because of Jalen Hurts. Another part of it is because they just have really, really good experienced players and Jason Kelce, Brandon Graham, you know the names. I mean, this experience and these players having played in big games is a big part of this whole thing.
I want to know what the crazy part is that everybody's overlooking, especially when you're not an Eagles fan and you're questioning how this team is lucky and everything like that. This team's winning with their best weapon not even being utilized much. A.J. Brown has been, you know, almost non-existent in the last couple games. I know he scored against the Bills, but still, this wasn't typical A.J. Brown performances that we've seen from him this season. He's finally starting to garner most of the attention. And unfortunately, when Goddard went out, this is something that, you know, you predicted yourself. And what we talked about on the show is, you know, A.J. Brown's going to start hindering all this attention now. And it's going to start looking good for Devontae Smith, which it has against the Chiefs and it has against the Bills. Other guys need to step up and get involved. And, you know, the Eagles really haven't had that yet. They are missing Goddard sorely. And, you know, so is A.J. And yet this team is still finding ways to win against the team that beat them in the Super Bowl last year, a team that they've never been able to beat with Andy Reid as head coach. And they also, you know, say what you will about Josh Allen and his turnovers, but he's an elite quarterback talent. And he's only gotten better since they made this offensive coordinator switch to Joe Brady. So they took down a really good team that had everything on the line that game to play for playoff seeding. That was not an easy team to take down. I don't care what their record says. 6-6 is a lie. That Bills team is a very good team. And they will be fighting for that playoff speed for the rest of the season. But that was a must-win game for them. So the Eagles really beat a team with three quarters of football because you have to count what they did in overtime. That was fighting for their playoff lives with an elite quarterback talent that got a better play caller ever since the team moved on to Joe Brady. That's a really big win. That you have to consider those factors into considering that win as well. And, I mean, Jalen Hurts was non-existent in the first half. He did not play like a quarterback in the first half at all. I mean, let's just be honest. I think what was this? It was 2 for 11 for 19 yards, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. That sounds right. I have the stat book in front of me here. I can go to the first half.
I mean, that's two quarters of your quarterback's play right there, Ed. I mean, that's can't win with football that way. So the fact that he was able to turn on that bell in the second half, I mean, I think the huge part of it is, I don't know if you agree with this either, because, you know, I got mixed reviews on this when I made this take. I think they need to lean on DeAndre Swift more. I understand his track record with Detroit and, you know, how his injuries have been occurred. I know the Eagles are playing it safe on him based on the past, but I think playing with that fear is just hindering your offense. He's proven up to this point. He's healthy. he's good to go. I would, loosen up the reins on DeAndre Swift a little bit and make him a pivotal part of your offense, especially with Dallas Goedert shelved for these, he might be back against the 49ers. I doubt it. It's looking like the Cowboys game, we will see him again. But, I mean, you see how much easier the offense gets when DeAndre Swift plays a pivotal role. That second half, he was breaking off huge runs and really waking up this rushing attack, and then they were able to do play action. They were able to start getting things in rhythm. It really is their tone setter, and I really think they should utilize him more in the first half because you look what happens when you don't.
Yeah, a couple things. Just clear up the Hurts numbers. He was 4-for-11 for 33 yards in the first half. The tight end situation, Jack Stoll had one catch, one target, and that was it for the tight ends. Albert O, who we thought might be a factor, hasn't done anything. They haven't, Julio Jones, who we thought maybe he would see an increase in catches, he hasn't done anything. So really, the Eagles offense is kind of playing with one hand tied behind its back here. But the hand that they do have out with Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, I mean, Brown's numbers are, not what they were when he had that six-game stretch of 125-plus more yards receiving. Clearly, he's, they're paying more attention to him. And with Goddard out, it's the smart play. But Devontae Smith is, he's a 1A receiver, if not a 1 receiver. He's a 1 receiver for a lot of teams. And, he had a 100-yard game yesterday. It was his first 100-yard game since week 2, only his second 100-yard game of the season. But, he showed up big time, with some of those catches he made, especially in overtime. Thirdly, the Swift stuff. I mean, whatever the Eagles are doing to start games isn't working, and it's passing the ball. We saw it yesterday, 3 straight throwaways. Okay. They didn't run the ball once. They just threw it away. You're coming out there with Lane Johnson not being available. You're starting Jack Driscoll, and now you're going to pass the ball 3 straight times. This is the third time in the last 4 games the Eagles have started a game with a 3 and out. I mean, so whatever they're doing is not working. So you're right. You have to get Swift involved early, often. But the Eagles seem to be a team that likes to pass the ball to set up the run. And it hasn't worked these last couple of weeks. And if you're looking for an adjustments, I'd start right there. Get Swift involved early. Give him the ball in the first snap of the game. See what he can do with it. Or on second down, run him. To just give him the ball. What did he have it in the first half? Three carries for 7 yards in the first half. He finished the game with, 14 carries for 80 yards. So, do the math there. He carried it, 11 times in the second half for 73 yards. I mean, why aren't we doing that more in the first half? That's a question that Brian Johnson will probably be asked on Tuesday at the coordinator's press conference, because I want to know the answer. You're right. Swift needs to get involved more early.
Two things there is Devontae Smith. I don't think anybody really realizes when Eagles fans and Eagles writers and anybody that covers the team talks about how great he is, understands that his catch radius for his size is not normal. Like that's not. Wide receivers that size can't do that. Like they really can't. That touchdown catch, Ed, I would like to see the vertical on that.
Yeah.
Because that was insane.
Great point. That's a great point. I wrote that down when I was watching the game. It's like, he was up there. And I've said this about Devontae before, is he has this ability to kind of get up in the air and like Michael Jordan just kind of hang there or float there for like, a second longer than anybody else can stay there. And that's why he's so good at contested catches. But this play, he was 3 guys were right around him. And you're right, his vertical, I'd like to pause it and get out like a tape measure and see how high he is off the ground. And he makes it look easy. He's like an acrobat playing receiver. It's just incredible to watch. And it's fun to watch.
That all 22 angle doesn't do it any justice either, because you're looking at it from the quarterback standpoint. So you can't really see how much of the ground. It's just an ugly view. I can't tell. But when I watched it live on the game, it looked so much better, because you could see from, the fans' point of view from the stands when you're watching the game. And I'm like, man, he's so far off the ground right now and snagging that with one hand with no problem at all. That's not normal. Like, that's a generational talent. It really is. You can't do that.
It really is. He's fun to watch. I mean, and just when you see him mic'd up, when you hear these mic'd up clips, he's funny. You know, like he's talking about going out to recover that onside kick. You know, I got to go out on the hands team now, you know, in that Southern accent of his. I mean, he's just a funny guy. And he's just a shy kid. He doesn't give long answers when you talk to him. And but, man, he really is a fun watch on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, whenever the Eagles play.
I know Marvin Harrison's son is in this upcoming draft, but the closest thing that we've seen in the NFL from Marvin Harris is Devontae Smith. I'm going to be honest with you. That sounds very bold to say that, but no. Again, Marvin Harrison was around a similar build as Devontae Smith, and he was making these crazy acrobatic catches and doing things that Devontae's doing. Nobody has done it since. I promise you guys. Look, it's insane. We really have to take that. You can't take that for granted at all. I hope that I know Landon Dickerson. I feel like getting an offensive lineman extension done first is the easiest thing to do, but I really look forward to hearing that news this offseason that Howie Roseman agrees to an extension with Devontae Smith because it's coming. And they're going to make sure they keep him. There's no doubt in my mind.
I mean, they really have to. I mean, to see what this, you know, and, you know, Hurts being 25 and, you know, Smith being 20, whatever he is, 24, 20, I guess he's 25 also. But, you know, this is a young group. And even A.J. Brown's only 26 or 7 years old. I mean, this is a young core that can stay together for a few years here and give the Eagles a chance to win Super Bowls for the next couple of seasons. And, you know, Devontae Smith's a big part of that, no doubt. I mean, just like I said, just a really fun athlete to watch play the game.
It's going to be hard to garner DeAndre Swift's extension if they continue to use him the way that they do, because they kind of use him like a spell player. So how do you give a contract extension to a spell player? How does that work out? Or how does he view himself? Because clearly the guy has it. He clearly knows what he's doing. Honestly, everybody sees it now. I had to be awakened to it, you know, with him being on the Eagles, but he's better than what Miles Sanders was with them, but just not getting the opportunities. That's the problem.
Yeah, and it's health. You know, he's been able to stay healthy. You know, he's been able to stay away from the injuries that nagged him the last couple of seasons. And, you know, you always wonder, okay, is that because he's playing for a contract or is he legitimately, you know, staying healthy and playing through nicks and bumps and bruises because he's playing for a contract? Whatever it is, the Eagles are going to have a tough decision to make on him because, you know, Kenny Gainwell, I'm not sure you want him to be your every down back, and he's still under contract next year. You know, obviously they're going to have to do something with Swift, and if they let him go, then you're going to have to go into the draft or free agency to find somebody else to join him or to join Kenny Gainwell.
We'll worry about that in a couple of months. That doesn't sound good to worry about now.
Let me ask you a question quick. You know, I write this little piece, like 10 thoughts from the game. And I always use like a turning point. And it's always there's so many different things that happen through the course of the game. It's sometimes hard to identify one thing and put it above all others. But what do you think was the turning point in this game?
That James Bradberry interception was really key. Because those things really hype up the team. I'm not going to lie. When they make turnovers like that, you see how everybody bounces on that sideline and the momentum shifts. That, to me, signaled to the team that this defense wasn't going to give up. Like, you know, we had to really get accustomed to the bend but don't break mentality under Jim Schwartz. And it worked. No matter how much you hated it, no matter how much you're frustrated with it, that was the reason why they won their first Super Bowl in franchise history. Without Jim Schwartz, it doesn't happen. So this defense this year is really embracing that mentality, I think, because the secondary is just not – I don't think they're ever going to get it together, guys. I hate to say it. I know they played well against the Bills in terms of stats, but there was a lot of missed opportunities there on the Bills side that if they are taking advantage of – and the same thing against the Chiefs. If those opportunities aren't missed opportunities, then those stats don't look as good as they did. Yeah. So I don't think the secondary is ever going to really get it, Ed. I don't think they are. I just think they're at the point where – they live every down and they die every down. So,
yeah,
I think that was the turning point, just because when you give that defense that momentum, hey, we'll bend, but we're not going to break. We're going to make those plays at the end of the day. I really do think that was the turning point. I do really think that was when the offense really woke up and said, you know, this defense is playing so hard. They're giving us every chance. We need to finally get together. I'm interested to hear what your answer is, though.
Yeah, that was definitely on my list, because then you look at it and it sets up the Eagles and they almost, you know, messed that up. I mean, two bad plays, a penalty, and now it's 3rd and 15, and you're thinking, oh, a field goal, they're going to tie it. And then just probably one of the best throws, you know, I mean, Hurts has made a lot of really nice throws, great throws this year, but that throw to Olamide Zaccheaus in the back of the end zone where Hurts had to roll to his left and, you know, keep the play alive, and it's pouring rain and it's windy and it's cold, and he fires a pass where only Zaccheaus can go up and get it with two guys around him, and then Zaccheaus takes this pop by, I think it was Poyer, just delivers this hit, and Zaccheaus is able to come down and hold on to the football, but that was the play that came after the interception from Bradbury. So, yeah, that's certainly on my list. Another one I would probably put on there, Connor, is I think DeAndre Swift, that 36-yard run he had in the third quarter was huge, a huge spark. And we saw him do that against the Chiefs last week. He had the big third-quarter run that set up a touchdown. And sure enough, this drive kind of got the Eagles going. They're down 17-7. They come out. They get the ball to start the third quarter, and they go three and out, and the crowd is booing like crazy. And, you know, the Eagles hold the Bills without any points, and then they get the ball back, and the first play, bam, there goes Swift for 36 yards, and then the Eagles get into rhythm. They get the touchdown pass to, I guess it was Smith to tie, or I guess it was Brown, a three-yard catch from Brown, first touchdown. So, I mean, that was, to me, could be looked at as a turning point as well, just that run by Swift that got them going. But certainly Bradbury deserves credit. That was a great INT. It was, you know, kind of a bracket trap type coverage. And Josh Allen never saw him. And to Bradbury's credit, he broke hard on that football to make that play, and he caught it. And I talked to him after the game, and he's like, you know, I just read what they were going to do. I anticipated. And he goes, and then I had to catch it. He goes, I figured, you know, I made this play. I better catch the ball. And he did, and it was a tough catch. So that probably will get the nod. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm still kind of – maybe I'll flip a coin and see which turning point I go with there. But they're both certainly worthy.
See, the problem with the beauty – the ugliness of not using Swift like that, and then the beauty of it is defenses don't account for him at that point in the game. Because nobody thought that – nobody saw – nobody on their defense saw that coming. And nobody on the Chiefs' defense saw it coming either. And that's the beauty. I mean, so here's my counterpoint to that, though, is just to end the Swift talk real quick, because I think we're all tired of talking about this, too, because it doesn't seem like it's going to change. But the 49ers aren't going to see that coming. If you start the game off just pounding out with Swift and then allowing him to open up the game for you and set the tone, they're not going to see that coming. This is the perfect week, especially if Lane can't go again. This is the perfect week to add that new wrinkle to your offense to throw off a really superior opponent, too. I mean, this team is the 49ers team is a very good team. You're playing against, this is the gauntlet. I know everybody was saying, you know, when is the gauntlet going to start because the Eagles are winning this game? No, they're playing it still. They're playing the best football teams they could possibly play on their schedule right now. And the 49ers are being no different. This is the team they're probably going to play in the NFC Championship game, even if they beat them. Because I don't see them losing the second seed. And if they get the second seed, I don't see anybody really beating them as well other than the Eagles. So take this game very seriously. Add a new wrinkle to it. Catch them off guard. Catch Steve Wilkes, a veteran defensive coordinator in this league, off guard. Throw Swift in there early. That's what I would do. But, again, that's why you're able to break off those huge Swift runs, is because the defenses at those point in the games don't see it coming.
Right. That's true. Yeah, that's a really good point. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that's the Eagles, the way they do business. They like to set up the run with the pass. And you're right about Brian Johnson being an SEC guy. But he played in whatever the conference Utah plays in. I don't know. The Pac-7.
Well, we talked about that off air. So let's go into that right now. Because I would bring that. I don't know how you would word this to him. Because I know you guys have to word questions a little bit. I see all these fans on Twitter always say to you guys, why aren't you asking this? Why aren't you asking that? I know you guys have to word things in a certain way to a certain T, correct? I mean, you can't just say something off the top of your head. You have to make sure you word it properly, or you're not going to get a 3-5 response, or they're not really going to want you to ask that.
I would imagine. You got to be respectful in your questions. You just can't come out, you know, and be, you know, like uber aggressive, and, you know, you don't want to have them shut it down, or, you know, him just say, you know.
I can't think you could say to Brian Johnson, or how you would be able to perform this well, is, Brian, we know you come from the SEC. Because I know you're right. He's from Utah. He played quarterback at Utah. He had a whole different system there than he did at Florida. But as a play caller at Florida in the SEC, I don't know how you really form this question to him, but we understand that you have to go pass for pass majority there because it was a high scoring conference and you had to always match the firepower that you're playing against. So I could see there with Kyle Trask and Kyle Pitts and all these other guys that you were so quick with throwing the ball there with the weapons that you had. And maybe is that translating to what you're doing in the NFL? Because at some point you're going to have to learn balance. I don't know how you really form that question to him, though, because I know you're going to ask him, hey, man, you know, what's up with not running the ball in the first half? And I think you're going to get the answer he always gives. Well, these RPOs set up these quick passes set up the run and all that, right, that jazz. But to me, it just seems like an SEC play caller trying to figure out his flow in the NFL. And we have to give it time because it's a beautiful thing. We see it in the second half. Once it gets the flow down, it's perfectly done. I mean, the play calls go smoothly. The plays are executed to full success. We love it. We cheer it on. But in the first half, we're like, man, they're just getting destroyed. They're just shut out. The offense is getting no production as of late. And to me, it's just because, you know, like you're saying, the pass. And that's what these guys are known for in the SEC, is to always starting off with the pass. So I wonder if that's what's sprinkling into what he's doing now.
Well, here's the thing, too, about the play calling. Nick Sirianni has a really big hand in, you know, the plays that are being called. You know, they sit down and they talk about it and they script it. And, you know, they go through situations where, okay, if we're in this situation, what are we going to call? If we're in that situation, you know what I mean? Like, Sirianni does have a big hand. And he's got the headset on, too, a lot of times. And he's talking to Brian Johnson a lot, I'm sure, about, you know, they're bouncing ideas off each other, and then they're making the quick decision, and then they're bringing it into Jalen Hurts. You know, it's Johnson who probably, you know, has the last say on it. But, you know, Sirianni's got a big, heavy input on this, too. It's not just Brian Johnson's play calling, you know, and nobody else has a hand in it. But, you know, you'd like to see them go a little bit more, you know, with the run. And yeah, Brian Johnson, it seems like everybody's giving him a hard time, you know, fire him. And yet he's getting a lot of love for some of these coaching openings that are happening. I saw, you know, obviously the Panthers fired Frank Reich today and they're looking for a head coach. And Brian Johnson, I saw some odds. He's like the 9-1 favorite. He's not the favorite. I think the 5-1 favorite, I can't remember who it is, but maybe Ben Johnson, I think, the OC in Detroit.
Yeah, it's Ben Johnson. Yep.
Yeah, but Brian Johnson is right there as someone that could get a head coaching job in the league. And look at Shane Steichen's done with the Colts. He's got them, you know, in the playoffs right now, if the season ended, with Gardner Minshew as his starting quarterback. Just kudos to Shane Steichen. So other teams see that and they're like, you know, Steichen was in Philly and they went to the Super Bowl. And now here's Brian Johnson, who inherits this team, and he's got this team, you know, 10-1, and they said on the telecast, no team has started 10-1 after losing the Super Bowl the year before since the Buffalo Bills. The 1991. So, you know, there's a lot of things that you can like about Brian Johnson, but we're so close to it sometimes we don't see the proverbial tree from the forest. You know, we just, you know, we, or the forest from the trees, whatever the saying is, because we're too close to it. So there's things to like about Brian Johnson. And again, he's not the one that's solely responsible for calling the plays. I mean, Sirianni has a big hand in that. All week they talk about the game plan. And Jeff Stoutland's involved in it. He's the run game coordinator. You know, let's see Jeff Stoutland maybe come into the picture here and say, hey, let's run the ball. Let my guys get going downhill early on. You know, maybe he needs to speak up a little bit more in meetings. I don't know what goes on in these meetings, but, you know, clearly they need a different direction to start a game, because three and outs in the last four games, that's just not going to cut it.
So do you have your question planned of what you're going to ask him?
Not really. You know,
he's going to get bombarded with those questions. So I'm sure you're going to have to think of it on the fly, because if somebody gets picked before you, they're going to ask something like that. And you're like, all right, I got to word it a little bit differently, but
yeah, it's it's a free for all in these things. You know, it's, you know, everybody wants to get a question in. So,
I'm happy they're 10-1. You're happy they're 10-1. It's incredibly impressive. Like we just said, the 1991 Bills are last to do that after losing the Super Bowl. It's unheard of. That Super Bowl hangover is a real thing, and it hurts a lot of teams and a lot of their cultures. And you're right. That's what people are going to consider. I mean, that's what the owners are going to consider when they look into Brian Johnson, is look at the culture over there in Philly that Nick Sirianni's established. We want that. He's clearly coaching that into his guys can look what Saint Seitan's doing. And hate to say it, but the Cardinals are a competitive team this year, no matter what. You haven't really watched one of their games and think, wow, this team just stinks. Like, they have really no guys over there, and they're right. winning. Winning, but they're in these games at least. So they're going to look at these guys and think, this pedigree that they have, the cultures that these guys have, it's impressive. I like it. Let's go ahead and talk to Brian Johnson now and see what he can bring in. I wouldn't be surprised he gets hired either. They're looking for a new offensive coordinator again.
Yeah.
But right. I think the funniest thing is the a lot of gripes I see with Brian Johnson, the wide receiver screens. And I'm like, you know, you guys had the same problem with Shane. You know, the wide receiver screens are part of their game because they have these wide receivers that are so explosive when getting yards after catch opportunities. I understand it. And to be honest with you, Julio is just at the receiving end of Dallas Goedert's injury right now. Because if it wasn't Julio getting those catches, it was Goddard. Because Goddard's great on the screens.
Yeah.
So, you know, I understand being like, why are we doing Julio's wide receiver screens? I get baffled by it too. But at the same time, I'm like, he's filling in for Goddard. Those are Goddard screens. Those aren't for Julio. And when they work, we love them to death. So my problem is I just make it easier on yourself and use the run. That's all I'm saying. I have no other gripes other than that.
I'd like to see him throw the ball to Stolmore. I mean, he had a nice catch and run yesterday.
I thought he was Goddard. I was like, is Goddard back?
I thought he was going to score his first NFL touchdown. You know, I thought, man, this guy's running hard. Why not run a screen to him? I mean, I don't know. I mean, they don't seem like they trust him. And really, clearly, this offense without Goddard is completely different. I mean, one target for a tight end. Albert O didn't get any. Stole it and get, you know, he got one. Noah Tagai, who they called up or they elevated from the practice squad. He played like 7 or 8 snaps. He didn't get anything. You know, why not? Let's see it. Let's do something a little different against the 49ers on Sunday.
The 49ers are going to come in here and trying to win this game. There's going to be a lot of passion on that side of the football.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough game. And, you know, they only got better with this Chris, Chris Young?
Chase Young.
Chase Young. Yeah, Chris Young's a baseball player. I messed that up bad. But yeah, Chase Young, that acquisition that they've had so far on that defensive line is just paying dividends for them. It's Randy Gregory too as well. You can't forget that. That game's going to be very tough, and we'll talk about that later in the week, of course. But
Sean Desai should not get a pass here either. He's going to be one of the coordinators, obviously, talking on Tuesday. And this pass defense, he does a great job of adjusting and making these, putting different guys in, losing Zach Cunningham. He throws Christian Ellis in there, who did some okay things. He wasn't as good as probably Nick Sirianni led you to believe in his postgame press conference yesterday. But, you know, you lose him, you lose Fletcher Cox. You're already without Milton Williams. But this pass defense, and you hope it can continue to get better. But, I mean, and listen, Josh Allen played like an MVP. But you can't give up, 339 yards through the air, 505 yards of total offense to the Bills. Now, Brock Purdy's not half the quarterback, in my opinion, as Josh Allen. So it might be a little bit better in terms of passing yards this week. But they were 28th in the game or in the league coming into that game. And they're not going to improve on that any when the stats come out after the Monday night game. If anything, they're going to go down lower in the 29th or 30th, I would think. And that is a real sore spot for them. And they need to find a way to clean that up. Because, you know, other teams, they know that. And a lot of it is the tight end. I think Kevin Byard does a nice job covering some of the tight ends, but
improvement for sure.
Yeah, and it's an improvement, but they still need to do a better job covering the center of the field. And that's where they get hurt a lot, is in the middle of the field. So that Sean Desai needs to find a way to clean that all up. And it's tough. You don't know if Cunningham's going to play.
Yeah, they don't have the guys. That's what it is.
Yeah, they don't have the guy. I mean, you know, are you going to get Shaq Leonard in here? I mean, he went to Dallas today. He's not. Yeah, I mean, it's you're really kind of like you said, you're living and dying on every play. You know, you're just fighting hard every play and going to the next play and keep fighting. Sometimes you die, sometimes you live. But it's a real sore spot for them is this pass defense.
That touchdown to Christian, to Gabe Davis. Could have easily been stopped if Zach Cunningham was in there, because Christian Ellis completely blew that assignment and tried to. It looked like he was thinking about blitzing. I don't know what he did, but
he kind of ran it up to the line.
He didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, I don't think he did. I don't.
Yeah, and Zach Cunningham drops back into his normal coverage there. That and if Josh Allen throws that ball, it's picked.
Yeah,
if Zach Cunningham's in there, so that I know Nick Sirianni. He, I mean, you gotta have, you have to say positive things about the guys that are coming in unexpectedly. You have to. But that's gonna be a really, really tough loss if Zach Cunningham can't go against the 49ers, because Christian Ell is not ready for the 49ers offense. And you know, for so much praise for AJ Brown that we've had, Brandon Ayuk's having an incredible season as a wide receiver as well. So you're right. This, it's not going to be easy. This is going to be a very, very tough game. But this is, I think, this is a must win for the Eagles. You know, it's crazy because they're 10-1. They could have definitely afforded to lose, but the 49ers are coming into your house. They disrespected you the whole entire offseason, saying all this jibber jabber like Hassan Reddick is alluding to, and set the tone. Let them know we won that game for a reason. You know, it's not our fault that you put a tight end on Hassan Reddick 1-on-1. You know, that's not our problem. That's a you problem. Like, we're going to go ahead and show you what happens if Brock Purdy is still in there. And we're going to remind you guys who the top dog in the NFC is. And we're going to remind the rest of the world too, as well, because you keep disrespecting us. But we keep finding ways to win no matter what.
Yep.
That's going to do it for us, man. Yep. Go ahead.
No, that's fine. Yeah, we can get more into the Niners talk. You know, I wanted to touch on the Jake Elliott kick. What a kick, man. 59 yards in the wind and the rain.
Do you think he's the best kicker in franchise history?
I do. I do.
Yeah.
No doubt. I absolutely do.
I love David Akers, but he's not making 59 yarders or 61 yarders. I'm sorry.
Not in the rain, not in those conditions. I mean, just that was a phenomenal play. I mean, that play, that touchdown hurts to Zacchaeus was the best play of the game, in my opinion, second best, and maybe the first. You could argue that was the kick, the 59 yarder that sent the game into overtime. He had no business making that kick.
All right, one question for you before we get off, because I think people want to hear this too. I know what my answer is, and this is no disrespect to him whatsoever. I'm glad he's back from injury, because I really do think defenses have to account for his speed. Do you think Quez Watkins makes that catch? That Zacchaeus made. Just asking.
Wow, man. Listen, I would have to say probably not. But probably not.
So I said no too, because wanna know why? That was a concentration catch. And Zacchaeus is actually good for that. And not even just with the Eagles. Because he's only had 2 touchdowns this year.
Right.
He did this with the Falcons a lot too, with these concentration catches, because he had horrible quarterback play. So we always had to make those, you know, those jump ball efforts where you're concentrating and bringing it in. So I don't think he would have either. I said the same thing. I said, I don't think he would have caught that. I think Zacchaeus it takes a very, very aware wide receiver to catch that pass. I will just say that.
It's a good description, a concentration catch. Yeah, because that ball was coming through the rain. You're looking up in the rain, and you have to focus on the football and bring it in with 2 guys right around you, the back line of the end zone right there. Good description, concentration catch, and Quez probably doesn't make it.
So get a load of this. You think Justin Tucker's probably one of the best kickers of all time, I imagine, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I would. And I mean, the accolades speak for itself. He's been all pro for almost every year of his career. So here's the career stats on, and this is from Cody Schwartz. He put this on Twitter, so everybody knows that I got this from him. Not from me. He tweeted this out at CBS Schwartz 5. All right. Career stats on 58 plus yard field goals. Justin Tucker, 3 for 13, 23.1%. Jake Elliott, 4 for 4, 100%.
Yeah.
He's the best kicker in franchise history by far.
For sure. For sure. But let's get him 17 more chances from 58 yards and above and see if that percentage still holds true. I mean, that's tough to do, but he's already made more, right, than Tucker, right? 3 for 13.
He's made 4. Tucker. Yeah, he's made 4. And one of them was in the pouring down torrential rain.
Yeah. And Elliot, and I keep saying Jake Franklin, like Tony Franklin. Like I'm making this like amalgamation.
Like me and Fred John. Every time you have to correct when I say Tom Johnson, it's like it's Fred.
Yeah, I know. There's just something about names, and you know,
because my friend, I had people reaching out to me saying, like, why the heck are they starting Drag Driscoll? Why don't they put Tyler Steen out there? And I'm like, you're bringing up the wrong offensive lineman. If anything, they would have to put out Fred Johnson.
I'm really surprised that Fred Johnson hasn't gotten cross trained at right tackle. I don't know what the deal is there. I really don't.
I don't either, because you gave him a 2-year contract extension. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to be versatile. You're supposed to play more than one position in the NFL, right? I mean, they tried it with Dillard.
I think this is Driscoll's last year of his contract too. So you would imagine,
yeah,
get him to get some right tackles.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, they're going to train Steen there, but Steen's a guard. But is there any openings at the guard spot? I mean, you think next year if Kelsey retires, but listen, Jason Kelsey's playing fantastic. I mean, say what you want about those two false starts. And I asked about him. I asked that to him in the locker room yesterday, is, you know, kind of after everybody went away. And, you know, he just said, listen, you know, they're in the 2 minute, they're doing a lot of blitzing. I'm trying to pick up, you know, protections. And, you know, he goes, I love the home crowd, but it is loud. It's hard to hear. You're trying to communicate. And he goes, sometimes you overlook the cadence of the snap, or there's a delay. And, you know, you're so tuned in with everything else going on that you sometimes miss that and you overlook it, and you shouldn't. He said, not good, but he's still playing great, man. That block he made on the Jalen Hurts touchdown run in overtime, I mean, just wiped out somebody on the edge there. You know, he had another block, you know.
The nickel corner, then they brought the nickel corner on the blitz. And yeah, 100% would have got Hurts. 100% would have tackled him there if it wasn't for that block.
Yeah, I mean, he can still play. It's a question of whether he wants to, whether he wants to put his body through it. But
he's,
you know,
going out on top. He's going out on top.
Yeah, probably. So, you know, look, Steen would be your right guard. Juergens slides into center. And then you got to figure out your reserve tackles. And they better start maybe cross-training Fred Johnson to do that. I don't know why they don't. I mean, the guy's big as a house. Have you ever seen Fred Johnson?
I have. I keep calling him Tom Johnson because I knew who he was, because I saw that contract extension. And I'm like, oh, they're going to use this guy. But
yeah, that's Tom Johnson guy's pretty good, huh?
That's what they were. But I had friends reaching out to me, and they're like, why didn't we trade for a backup tackle? Why would we get Alberto when we need more tackle depth? And I'm like, because they have a guy. His name's Tom Johnson. And it's not Tom Johnson, it's Fred. But yeah, that's what I said too. I'm like,
he's as big as Mulata. I mean, seriously, that guy's huge. I mean, him and Mulata look like the same size to me. So I don't know. Well, you know,
I see something in him too. But this is crazy that our podcast about the Eagles win over overtime Bills is going into their backup left tackle discussion that nobody really knows that they have.
Yeah. Well, we'll do it again later in the week, hopefully, and preview the big NFC championship rematch against the San Francisco 49ers.
Gotta beat them, man. I don't want to hear from their fans. I don't want to hear from that crappy San Francisco radio station. I don't want to hear from their fans. I don't want to hear from the announcers who think that we got that game handed to us last year just because of Kyle Shanahan's fault coming up short in big games like he always does, in my opinion. But that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, I smell dinner, man. My dinner's cooking away.
Go ahead and eat dinner. Yeah, we're going to get this pot out there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see you guys very soon.